This is Chef John Foles welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio, and inviting you to join us at the kitchen table for another hour of adventures in food. Each week, we travel from the back roads of Louisiana to the streets of Europe's capitals, delving into food. We talk with chefs, food historians, authors, and producers. We search out current trends, revive forgotten traditions, and y'all, we're going to cook for you. Folks, in this summer heat, you gotta find a way to chill out. If you're like me, when you want to cool down, nothing thrills and chills like ice cream. Join me, Chef John Foles, and Aaron Swanson, executive chef at Restaurant Revolution in New Orleans, as we talk ice cream on Stirring It Up next. But first, the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. The Ukrainian government is claiming victory in a key rebel stronghold in eastern Ukraine. As NPR's Corey Flintoff reports, Ukraine's president has ordered that the national flag be raised in Slavyansk.
Ukraine's interior minister says a large group of pro-Russian separatists fled Slavyansk after coming under heavy fire from government forces. The city's been the scene of some of the fiercest fighting in the conflict since rebels seized control in April. Slavyansk was the headquarters for Igor Strelkov, a Russian citizen who was named the defense minister for the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic. In recent weeks, Strelkov has pleaded for more Russian help and said his troops could not hold out without Russian military intervention. The latest fighting comes as diplomats from Ukraine, Russia, France, and Germany try to broker a new ceasefire. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Moscow.
Palestinian officials say a 16-year-old Arab youth was burned to death in a revenge attack. The episode has spurred violent clashes between Israeli police and Palestinian protesters. In Afghanistan, 400 fuel tankers are now charred wreckage after they went up in flames. The BBC's Karen Allen reports the Taliban claim to have set them on fire.
A police source told the BBC that hundreds of fuel tankers were set ablaze late on Friday evening and continued to burn through the night. Eyewitnesses say that gunmen, who they claimed were dressed in uniforms, set the vehicles alight and fired shots towards drivers who attempted to turn on their engines and flee. The Taliban have claimed responsibility for the incident, which a spokesman said was directed at contractors providing fuel for NATO forces.
The BBC's Karen Allen. Post-tropical storm Arthur whipped Canada's maritime provinces with near-hurricane-strength winds and torrential rains. Nova Scotia Power reported extensive outages. There were cancellations and delays at the airport in Halifax. In Hatteras Village, North Carolina, the worst is over, and Alan Burris, owner of Burris Market, says his store survived the storm.
Three villages at the very beginning of the island. There was some flooding in that area, but the rest of us had very little damage comparatively. They were mostly shingles off and windows broke or something like that, and we got most of it up and running yesterday.
The barrier island was closed off on Thursday as the storm approached, and a portion of North Carolina Highway 12 buckled after being submerged by churning waters during the Category 2 hurricane. Local officials aren't prepared to say when vacationers can return. Authorities say a 7-foot-long great white shark bit a man swimming off of Manhattan Beach. He's in stable condition. This is NPR. Four people are dead after a late-night 4th of July boating collision near Miami's Dinner Key Marina. The Coast Guard says rescuers were alerted by one of the boaters who said he'd been hit by another vessel and that his 36-foot pleasure craft was taking on water. Several people were taken to shore, transported to medical facilities. The bodies of two victims were later found by divers. Left-hander Petra Kvitova of the Czech Republic has won her second Wimbledon title. Larry Miller reports she was near perfect with a serve that reached 113 miles an hour, blowing Canadian Eugenie Bouchard off the court in two straight sets.
The one-sided match took just 55 minutes. Eugenie Bouchard was the bookies' favorite, but the 20-year-old was outmatched from the start and had no answer to Petra Kvitova's mix of shots from serve to baseline to smash.
The ladies' champion of Wimbledon 2014, Petra Kvitova.
Kvitova takes home $3 million. Sunday in the men's final, Roger Federer will be looking for his 8th Wimbledon title, Novak Djokovic his 2nd. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
At the World Cup, Argentina beat Belgium 1-0, reaching a semifinal match for the first time since 1990. And in Netherlands versus Costa Rica, the game is in extra time and the score is 0-0. Marcel Kittel has won the first stage of the 101st Tour de France in a run from Leeds to Harrogate. The race this year begins in England. It will pick up in France early next week. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Cigna, a global health service company dedicated to helping people improve their health, well-being, and sense of security. At Cigna.com.
Chef John Falls welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. From the swamps and bayous of South Louisiana, thanks for joining us in our little piece of culinary heaven where good cooking is just a way of life. Mornings begin here with a roux simmering in a cast iron pot, and our evenings end with thoughts of what we're going to cook tomorrow.
Welcome, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio, the best cultural show on radio, Michelle York. I want to know, I called you about 10 times yesterday on July the 4th to wish you a happy Independence Day, and you were nowhere to be found. What was going on?
You must have called the wrong number.
I did not call the wrong number. And then, in fact, so worried about the fact that you weren't answering, I drove to your house.
You drove
that's right, July 4th, Slama. I was at her house under the carport, car missing, no answer. You know what that means, huh? I was not to know where she was.
Not to know, okay.
That's exactly right, because she answers her phone every minute when you call. You know, she's calling you all day long.
Okay.
Couldn't find you yesterday on July 4th, Slama. I could find you yesterday. I called you to wish you a very happy fourth.
Yeah, I
remember?
Appreciate that.
And
yeah.
I asked, have you seen Michelle York? Anyway, happy fourth, Michelle York. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good,
you had
a good
fourth?
I had a pretty good fourth. I have a good day every day. You know, the kind of world revolves around my unique and keen interest in food, so I'm always out there trying to find something new and exciting. You were telling me that in a couple of weeks we're going to have a guest on a fig show coming up. You're telling me about this nursery around where your mother lives. So yesterday when
you went and bothered that man?
I went and bothered that man yesterday. I went to see
him. It didn't occur to you that he might have been celebrating with his family?
He was, but I
Or you just kind of made yourself a part of the family?
I made myself part of the family. I said, like my dad, Slama, when we were young, you know, my dad, we had 8 children, right? My mother died when I was young, you know. So dad would load all 8 of us in the car. Now, remember, the oldest
the
is 10. Oh, yeah, the station wagon.
I don't know how y'all all fit, but that's another
whole story. It's not that we fit. Is that was where we got
that's
in. We didn't fit. But anyway, dad would load us all up in the car and he'd take off. Now, the youngest was twins, so there was 1-year-olds in the car.
Goodness.
The oldest was 10. We take off down the highway and we said, Daddy, where you going? And he said, well, we're going to visit.
Uh-huh.
And visit who? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
He was home. So he'd pull into people's yard. This is a true story. I told it to Michelle. He'd pull into somebody's yard and he'd start blowing the horn.
Uh-huh.
And the people would come out on the porch. This is in Vacher, you know, I mean, French people. And he said, is this so-and-so's house? And they would say, no, they live next door. He said, okay, you go pull in that yard. He said, okay, get out, I know these people. And we'd go on the porch and go visit.
Festivities,
I bet they were so glad to see y'all coming.
So that's what I did yesterday with the guy.
And he wonders why I wasn't home. So you did this to that man yesterday. You got up there,
I went,
you tooted your horn?
Yeah, and I said, I'm Chef John Falls, and the whole party turned toward me. You know, I mean, I'm kind of what they call local celebrity.
Among other names, but we'll go with that.
Anyway, what did you do yesterday, huh?
Well, I slept in a little bit.
Is that right?
And, you know, I'm in class right now. I've been working on a paper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. That's what I did. I always end up working on the 4th of July.
Well, I did ice cream.
Ice cream? You were bringing me some?
That's what I was getting.
I'm giving
that.
You an out.
I had one of those containers packed in dry ice, and I got on over there and
said Bluebell.
And guess what it was? That's what made me drive to Opelousas. Fig ice cream.
Oh, goodness.
That's
fig
what I made
cream.
That fig ice cream.
You left some in the freezer for me?
Well, you know.
You ate my fig ice cream.
Well, I was in such distress. Only sugar could get me out of the this kind of funk I was in when I couldn't find you on July 4th.
So well, you had to drive to Opelousas. We should just come to Mom's.
I'm an ice cream maker from way back. I've always loved ice cream. And like Ralph Waldo Emerson, one of my good friends. You know Waldo.
You knew Waldo.
He said, "We dare not trust our wit for making our house pleasant to our friends, and so we have ice cream."
You know, I like that. You know, you would have fit right in at the court of the Henrys of France.
Well, of course I would.
The fourth, the second, the third.
Naturally. I mean, is that what a shocking statement?
What would you have done, driven up in your mule-drawn wagon?
Well, we were...
You couldn't blow the horn.
Well, the Falses could have presented our credentials, because we're from royalty, from the Palatinate, as you well know, across the Rhine River. We'll talk about that later.
You know, in the 1550s, when Catherine de' Medici, from Italy, she became queen, and she introduced the French royalty to sorbetti. They were made with an alcoholic base, eaten between savory main courses and other, and often substituted for liqueurs at grand banquets.
Well, they had so much alcohol in it, you could kind of sip the ice. And, and of course, ice was a treasure back then.
It
that
was.
Makes sense. Perfect sense.
It was a luxury. The technique came from the early frozen desserts in Sicily, ancient Rome, and Egypt that were made from snow and ice brought down from mountaintops and preserved below ground. Her ice desserts contained spirits and required the skill of a liquorist to make them. About 100 years later, the famous confectioner and liquor distiller Massolo added recipes for them to his cookbook. Actually, and I think this is very interesting, they were called cheeses because they were often made in dairies, but they were not quite what we consider ice cream today.
Well, no, not if they call them cheeses. Back
cheeses.
Then,
now, who could think ice cream called cheese?
Well, sweet milk on snow was the original snowball, so to speak, you know. Yeah, it sounds like a Hanson snowball, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. And you promised me one the other day. Did not get it.
Well, I was running behind. But, you know, I normally deliver my promises to you. In the mid-1700s, y'all, two major changes occurred to the recipe. One, they began churning the mixture until it was semi-frozen. Then it was frozen into a mold. And two, they started adding one of the key ingredients to change the texture and flavor of this particular dessert. And it was eggs. They added egg yolks to it. One chef added exotic fruit to it, like bananas and pineapples and fresh berries. And, of course, the spices like cinnamon and nutmeg and nuts like chestnuts and almonds. Ice desserts more closely, resemble what we think of today as ice creams that you see. And it was Thomas Jefferson, many say, who became so enamored with ice cream in France that he decided to bring it to America. And, of course, the French call their desserts fromage, which is cheese, of course, fromage glacé, iced cheese. Can you imagine that?
Ice cream was a treat, though, for the wealthy. In England, in the mid-1800s, there was a guy named Thomas Masters who invented a type of ice cream machine for large households, which made ice cream making available to the masses. That's when it trickled down to the Fulce family.
That's right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And following that, in 1888, Mrs. A.B. Marshall, a.k.a. Queen of Isis.
I knew some of those, too.
Mm-hmm. She became famous for her edible cornet a la crème.
And you know what that is. It even sounds like it. Mm-hmm.
Which was really an ice cream cone.
That's exactly right. Cornet. That's what
an ice cream cone.
Made
with ground almonds.
Think of the front of a cornet or trumpet, huh?
Made with ground almonds. Now, doesn't that sound delicious?
An almond twill was what was just turned into a circle to make a
How come you've never made almond twills for us?
Well, I've made them before. My own hands.
Well, I'd like to try one of those.
I'll do that for you. That'd be a good segment for us.
I think it would be. She developed a hand crank ice cream maker for the home cook and designed thousands of ice cream molds in various shapes. She even wrote a cookbook called Fancy Ices, which contained a recipe for her famous cornet.
Well, anyway, y'all, the story of ice cream would not be complete, so to speak, without paying homage to those wonderful Italians, including the Medicis that we talked about. During this time, they were making superior frozen ices and frozen creams until political upheaval in Italy brought them streaming into England and America. They'd sell their ices from push carts on the streets, playing their little organs, and of course you remember the little thing with
the original
monkeys?
Ice cream man.
The little monkeys. Remember the monkeys on the ice cream vendor's shoulders, huh?
Or you not in my day.
Not in your day.
No offense. I mean, it was the ice cream man in the little truck playing Yankee Doodle Dandy or whatever.
That was years later. These Italians in New Orleans had their little carts that they would run. They'd sell the ice cream, of course, from these little push carts. They'd play their little wound-up organs and attract buyers who would line up. Now, I don't think this would happen today, Slama, but the public would line up to get a little treat from the ice cream man called a penny lick.
Oh, boy.
What does that mean? Well, a penny for the ice cream?
Give me a lick and you can get a lick, and then a penny from Slama get a lick. And I mean, I don't think people. I'm telling you the facts, son. Well, I mean, after all, a man had a monkey with him. I mean, who knew how clean all that was? I mean, this ice cream car, I'd have stayed away from that thing. Anyway, many of them established ice cream parlors, the Italians. They came up, remember that we always stopped to get our desserts in there?
Angelo Brocato's.
Brocato's ice. You
still there.
Me,
ice
huh?
cream in New Orleans. I love it. Sometimes I get a treat after class. I go there because it's close.
That's right. Oh, I love it. And Angelo Sr., by the way, I inducted him into the Hall of Fame at Nicholls State University's Culinary School. His grandfather came here from Sicily in the early 1900s, and they opened up their gelateria. The gelateria. Angelo churned his ice cream by hand. Well, he had one free after all, petting the monkey over here and churning. You had to kind of like a juggle a little bit. But anyway, he created all these wonderful, wonderful flavors and created a vanilla-based gelato with cinnamon and ground almonds that is still a favorite today. That Toroncino ice cream that they make. Absolutely. I love that company too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, jumping back to Ms. Marshall, the Queen of Ice.
With a cornet, please.
The cornet, yep. Mm. Well, the cornet got new life in New York in 1902 when Italo Marconi invented the waffle cone and served the frozen treat on Wall Street. Thanks to the new portability, ice cream became an American treat that you could eat on the run on a hot day, which we still do, thank you very much. But there were still those who enjoyed sitting in an ice cream parlor or at the counter of, say, the K&B or the...
I remember that.
The Woolworth on Canal Street back in the day, sipping away at an ice cream soda or a frothy concoction of ice cream and seltzer. But back then, these could only be enjoyed on weekdays since seltzer was associated with alcoholic drinks.
Oh, yeah, just stay away from all that.
When one enterprising drugstore concessionaire served ice cream and syrup in a glass, leaving out the seltzer, the ice cream sundae was born.
Can you imagine people walking away from ice cream because they thought that was alcohol, especially in New Orleans with some of these?
Yeah, well, they got over
anyway,
that.
Anyway, y'all,
didn't
we got to take a cool little break right now. I have a cone sitting in front of me. I wish I had some ice cream to put in it, but that's another whole story. We're going to have that in a minute. Y'all, take a break, and so will we. We'll be back in a minute. You don't want to miss any of this foolishness.
For the finest in classic ska, rock steady, rockers, DJ, dance hall, and dub, it's Jamon. Cecil here, bringing you Southwest Louisiana's longest running reggae tradition, Jamon. J Shaman Sunday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. or Saturday mornings from 1 to 3 a.m. and streaming live anytime at krvs.org.
Greetings. I'm Jake Hebert.
And I'm Adam Chouard. Join us every Friday at midnight for the Sound Club radio program.
Your home for left-field pop gems from today to yesteryear.
Here on 88.7 FM, KRVS.
Hi, I'm Pete Bergeron. If your day starts early, like mine does, let's spend it together with Cajun music from 5 to 7 a.m. here at Public Radio for Acadiana, KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
I ate a bowl of chili, and I felt okay, at least until I passed this fine cafe. I saw a guy eating a great big steak, while a waitress stood by feeding him ice cream and cake.
It should have been me
with that real fine chick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Stirring It Up, the best tasting food and culture show on radio. And even the music is superb today. Slama, you getting off of probation first time today. I mean, that music you did last week really put me in bad mood.
Oh, that wasn't too good.
No, but this was good today. I mean, you really coming through, huh?
The Ray Charles?
Yeah, the
A-okay. Oh,
man, look.
A-okay.
That should have been him. See, that should have been me, huh?
I thought that's what you were going to say. It should have been you.
It should have been me, huh? Well, you saw that big old steak, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that music, Slama. You do a good job. Hey, y'all, welcome. So nice to have you at the kitchen table with us today. Michelle, you have to shut the screen door and I'll lock it.
Are we making ice cream?
We're making ice cream. We have a great pastry chef with us, and if you don't lock the screen door, they're coming in. They're going to come in and try to get at us here. Huh?
So we want and
to
this is it. All for us.
This is all for us, all this ice cream.
We are not sharing today.
And we have it's perfect season for it. I mean, July 4th, yes, it is hot, you know, and
yeah.
now we kind of cruising on down toward the fall. We're on the 5th of July.
Yeah.
And now we only have 3 more months to enjoy ice cream in burning hot weather. So we want to get at it today. So you go ahead and introduce our guest. Huh?
Well, today we have Erin Swanson with us. You know Erin?
Yeah, she's heir to the Swanson fortune.
Huh? I did not know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Cake mix company. Her family owns that. Yeah.
Is that right? Well, she's the executive pastry chef over at Restaurant Revolution in New Orleans. She comes to us by way of Chicago. But she is certainly a Louisianian now. Her background is with exclusive restaurants such as Chicago's Ritz-Carlton and the Aspen Institute in Aspen, Colorado, and Jack Nicklaus Private Golf Resort, the Bears Club in Jupiter, Florida.
You know, I'll stop here for a minute because you said her background is with exclusive restaurants such as, and when you look at her background, Chicago Ritz-Carlton, Aspen Institute, and you mentioned Jack Nicklaus.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to her current job, this would have been considered exclusive. But now working under Chef John Falls at Restaurant Revolution, mm-hmm. I mean, these pale in comparison to where
sure
she
they
is
do.
Now, huh?
I'm sure they do.
Well,
I
just want to establish that before we got too far in and people
so
really thought.
So she needs to rewrite her bio, is what you're saying.
Exactly. She needs to say her background is now pastry chef of the exclusive restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Huh? She's working hard over there, cooking up delicious new dessert ideas for Revolution. But these days, she's also been getting out a little bit more, and I'm excited for her. She's been getting some good publicity, been doing some events around the city. In fact, her macadamia pineapple upside-down cake won the silver medal at this year's NAFI, New Orleans Food and Wine Experience. And last year, her white chocolate bread pudding won the gold medal.
Absolutely, it did.
Erin was recently featured in NOLA's Eater section for her crazy frozen treats using peanut butter and one of my favorites, Cracker Jacks. Erin's here today to thrill us and chill us with what's new in ice cream. Erin, welcome to Stirring It Up.
Thank you for having me.
Aaron, you weren't taken aback by me kind of putting down those previous jobs before this, this big landing that you have here now, right?
Not at all. I am so used to it. I'm very happy to be here.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. That's like before I went on this big boat and landed this yellowfin tuna the other day. I was bragging about the speckled trout I used to catch. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Aaron, I love you. You know that.
I do.
It's a good thing, right? Aaron, you actually fell in love with the city of New Orleans early, like when you were 12 years old. Was that right, on a family trip?
Yes. This is the first time our family came down here. Absolutely fell in love with the city. It was the people and, most importantly, the food that brought me back.
And the last time you were with us on Stirring It Up, we were talking about pies. And since then, you know, I was just talking about some of the news you've been making with some of your creative desserts. Tell us about some of these events you've been doing and the acclaim you've been getting. I'm excited for you.
Yes, I've been doing some local charity events. This past year, I've done Art in Bloom over at the Museum of Art in New Orleans, and I did my Creole cream cheese mousse, which we have on the menu now. It's very light, very similar to a cheesecake, but a little more grown up.
Well, you know, Aaron, we always talk about the variety of ice creams that you make. And let me tell you, all kidding aside, I mean, you make some exceptional ice creams. I mean, I just absolutely love the variety, and I love the creativity in your ice creams, like that roasted marshmallow ice cream that you do. What are some of the ice creams that our customers over there, our guests, are just raving about?
Well, our crunchy peanut butter ice cream is definitely the go-to favorite. We also have the toasted marshmallow, which is my favorite because the texture is just amazing. We have a vegan chocolate coconut ice cream that's made with just cocoa, coconut milk, and sugar, and that's pretty popular. The past few days, actually, I've been making some special ice creams. I just made a brown butter pecan, which is amazing. And then we've also made an oatmeal cookie ice cream.
Hmm.
See that?
Oatmeal cookie ice cream.
Mm-hmm. It's a cinnamon ice cream base. It has oatmeal cookie chunks and some dulce de leche in it. It's just amazing.
Did I ever give you my recipe for my bourbon chocolate cayenne pepper ice cream?
No, but that sounds amazing because I've actually been trying to think of a chocolate ice cream.
Let me tell you, it's the chocolate base, cayenne pepper for spice, honey is the sweetness. So we're using our sugar cane. You know, we put the beehives in the cane fields after the harvest, and the cane has been burnt, so the honey has a toasted flavor to it. So we have to bring you a couple cases of the sugar cane honey. It sweetens the chocolate. You put a little spice of the cayenne pepper and the bourbon in it. What do you think about that?
That sounds amazing.
I love that.
Sign me up.
I'm going to bring it to you. I'm going to bring you the honey, and you have everything else, right?
Oh, I sure do.
Now, you know, all ads nowadays, you know, I'm sitting in bed at night watching TV, so to speak, and all of a sudden the ads come up, and every company is touting gelato now. Now, of course, we all know gelato. I used to make gelato here at the bakery. We had some beautiful gelatos here when we went to Sicily a while back in Italy, started a little gelato. And Michelle, remember that with our buddy over there in Parma when we went to do the cheese?
Remember,
sitting in the little gelato stand and eating that ice cream, how nice
delicious
that was? And I said, I got to make this. And I came back and I made gelato, put it in retail, and named it after him.
That's right.
Remember that? Oh,
that Pavetti.
Pavetti's Choice, I called it, and made the gelato and brought a machine in from Italy. I have it right back here. I need to get that machine so she can make her gelato. But we see it everywhere, and I think there's a confusion over what is ice cream and what is gelato. What's the difference?
Well, there are quite a few differences about ice cream and gelato. Gelato is actually spun at a warmer temperature than ice cream, and it's spun slower, so there's less air whipped into it. That actually creates kind of a deeper flavor, because usually gelato is made with a lower milk butterfat content, rather than ice cream is made with usually half and half. And this actually makes the gelato melts slower and more flavorful and kind of, if you want to say, a little bit healthier for you.
Oh, a little bit healthier.
I love the way she described it.
Oh, she's great at describing.
Well, it's her Cajun accent. You know, it's the way she just cuts off those words right at the end. You know what I mean? one of your favorite desserts mentioned in the article that we were reading was your sorbet, a sherbet type dessert made with soy milk. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that is actually on the award-winning pineapple upside down cake. It's a white chocolate sorbet, kind of a play on words. It's a combination of a sorbet and a sherbet, which the difference between the two is sherbet has a dairy product of some sort. And the reason why I use soy milk is it just sounded kind of different, you know. So it's a white chocolate soy milk sorbet, and we have rum in it, and it's actually really amazing. Mm. So it's dairy-free, with the exception of a small amount of dairy in the white chocolate, but it's just kind of fun and different. We kind of gave it that name to kind of get people excited about it.
And the soy milk and some of these, like the almond milks and all of that, they already have kind of a natural sweet flavor to them, right?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Does that affect the flavor of the ice cream any?
Actually, this ice cream in particular has very little sugar because the amount of white chocolate that's used in it. There's so much white chocolate that's kind of becomes the fat in the ice cream, which gives it its smoothness.
So much white chocolate in it. That sounds good right there, right?
Sold. White chocolate, and didn't you mention rum in there?
Yes. I use Meyer's rum, Meyer's spiced rum.
Ooh, that sounds even better.
We got to get you some of that Bayou rum.
Yes.
Because then you could use Bayou rum in and make that good Louisiana rum flavor in there. What you think?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a great idea.
All right.
Aaron, you were talking about sherbet just a little bit, which is another refreshing, icy treat, but different from ice cream. So tell us the basics of sherbet.
That is basically sorbet with a little bit of dairy added to it. The ones that I do, I use milk. Other people have known to use a little bit of half and half, but it's mostly a fruit flavor with a little bit of cream in the background to kind of round out the flavor. And personally, I like it a lot.
Now, frozen yogurt, often a substitute for ice cream because many people say fewer calories. Now, tell us a little bit about frozen yogurt as we kind of walk down this path of the different types of ice flavors and ice treats. So, frozen yogurt.
Well, frozen yogurt is usually, you can have a either low-fat or no-fat frozen yogurt, and it has a great consistency that would prevent icing, and you generally don't need to add an egg to kind of make the flavor and the texture rounded out. Whereas ice cream, like all of the ice creams I use in, with the exception of a few in the restaurant, all have egg in it, which gives it this really velvety, silky flavor and texture.
So, Aaron, did you grow up making homemade ice cream, or did your family do that?
Actually, no. I've not been a big ice cream fan. I know it sounds kind of crazy. I actually cannot have that much milk because I am lactose intolerant. But what I love about ice cream is being able to do any flavor that I can and just kind of make up different things that sound really interesting that you might have never had in ice cream.
Don't you find that to be true, though, about ice creams and all of these ice milk-flavored treats? Don't you find that the creativity possibilities are endless?
Yes, for sure. And the greatest thing about it is everybody loves some sort of frozen dessert, ice cream, sorbet, sherbet. You can just do whatever you want, and somebody's always going to eat it and have a smile on their face.
Now, for making ice cream at home, there's a lot of people who think it's a complicated thing. I mean, when you think about it, ice creams have been around for, thousands and thousands of years. But yet, at the same time, people are afraid to make it. They think they have to go out and buy all of this expensive equipment. They have to really study it and all of this. Tell us a little bit about safe making ice cream at home.
It's actually very easy. You can, a lot of times with certain recipes, you have your cream that you're actually whipping to soft peak, and then you're folding it fruit puree or other items into it, and you freeze it, and every now and again you go back to the freezer and you stir it, and then you'll get the consistency similar to soft serve.
Did you not use any kind of machine? Did you just do the ingredients?
Yes, I have a machine at my house. Cuisinart carries a machine.
Do you have to freeze the container, or does it have Freon in it?
Yes, you freeze the container, and personally, my go-to trick is to actually freeze the container upside down. So when you're using the machine, it actually lasts longer because the frozen liquid on the inside will melt slower because it's inverted.
Wow, that's a great tip.
Yeah.
So tell us again your basic recipe. You say you're whipping the cream first to a whipped cream consistency, then you're folding it in. Is that what you said?
For a certain American-style ice creams, American-style doesn't have egg whipped into it, and that's kind of a no-cook sort of recipe. For instance, strawberry puree, that you have your sugar added to it, and then you can take their heavy cream and whip it to soft peak.
Just in a mixer, just kind of whip it to a soft peak, and then you fold that into the sweetened puree?
Correct.
And then that goes into the freezer?
Yes.
And then what happens?
And then every now and again, you can go into the freezer and fold it again and again as the ice crystals form. And doing that, you're actually adding air into the ice cream base, which helps make it creamier.
Now, how long does it take to freeze that or get it to that soft serve consistency?
I'd say it'd take about 4 to 5 hours.
4 to 5 hours, huh, Michelle? You got time to make that this afternoon.
I do.
No special equipment needed.
Huh? That sounds like my kind of ice cream, and it sounds delicious.
Now, you mentioned this machine. There's so many machines on the market today, some that has Freon in them. And then there's the ones that you're freezing the container. And you mentioned something, a very interesting technique. You actually take the bowl, put it in the freezer, turn it upside down, so all of the Freon or whatever it is inside kind of falls around the rim to the top because it's upside down, and it freezes that way. That way, when you invert it and put all of your liquid in, the frozen substance is up at the top and starts to melt down to the bottom. Is that what you're trying to do?
That's exactly.
And what is that doing for the ice cream?
That actually lets you mix the ice cream longer, which would incorporate more air and tend to make it less icy.
Ah, okay, so the ice crystals are reduced and you have a much creamier ice cream than you would with ice crystals forming in it, huh?
Yes.
What's trending you're finding in ice cream today?
I'm seeing a lot of add-ins, a lot of things that once you're making the ice cream that you're adding either cookie chunks or whole berries or chocolate. I see a lot of granita, which is another kind of interesting take on similar to a sorbet, which, believe me, is the easiest thing in the world to make. You could take something as easy as grape juice, put it in a pan, put it in the freezer until it freezes solid, which probably will take about 4 hours, and then take a fork and scrape it, and you have these amazing ice crystals.
It's like a frozen snowball almost.
Exactly.
Granita. Yeah, granita.
Exactly.
So, and then you just, every time you want it, you just go in and you scrape up a whole bunch of it again and put it in a cup, and you're off and running again.
Yeah.
And you can do that with just about any sweetened fruit juice, right?
Yes, anything. You could even do that with sweetened milk, and you'd have kind of like an ice milk, which is kind of interesting.
Well, you know, especially this time of year with all of the fresh fruit, and it's inexpensive now, the blueberries, the strawberries, all those things out right now. It's a great opportunity for making ice cream, huh?
It sure is.
Without giving away too many trade secrets, what's your next big thing going on that you're going to wow the Revolution Restaurant diners on the corner of Bienville and Bourbon over there, other than the view across the street?
we're working on a great lemon dessert with fresh fruit, such as blackberries and blueberries and a whole bunch of other fruit desserts, because now is the time to get that fruit in use.
No, that's exactly right. So anyway, hey, look, we love you to death, as you know, and we thank you so much for coming to live with us in New Orleans and bringing such great reputation to our Restaurant Revolution's pastry department. Hey, look, you're the queen. You do it right every
She's
day.
She's the queen of ices.
She's queen of ices. Hey, baby, thank you so much for being with us. I'm going to see you tomorrow, and I'll be right there to harass you as usual.
I look forward to it, Chef. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, baby. All right, everybody. We're going to take us a quick little break here, and we're going to be back in just a minute. Michelle has a book she wants to talk about, and I have a recipe. You don't want to miss that.
Tell you what it is. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh, my, my, I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on a second, baby. I got to put my banana in Dixie cups.
Gather round, baby.
Bootsy, baby.
Standing right in front of your radio so you can get on down.
That's Bootsy Collins, George Clinton, James Brown. Y'all come down as some funky artists. Tell us the history of funk. Next time on Apropos Worldwide from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday night at 8 on KRVS.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat Mitchell-Worley. Coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan, we have Jody Stevens of Big Star leading an all-star performance of Big Star's third album, plus Poppy Tooker with her Food and Blues series. That's all coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan.
Tonight at 11 on KRVS.
Francomics avec Val. Bienvenue dans le monde francophone. C'est tous les jeudis à 9h sur KRVS, la radio Acadie.
Explore the wide range of musics from throughout the world every week here on Earthbeat. I'm Cecil Doyle, bringing you classics, field recordings, and the latest sounds spanning the globe. That's Earthbeat, Sunday nights at 7 p.m., Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. here on KRVS.
In Italy, I do a little dance. It is the mambo, mambo gelato. Just you and me, why don't we take a chance? So do the mambo, mambo gelato. Nights are crazy, so the rage in Roma and Napoli. So hey, hey, signorina, come make a mambo with me.
All right, everybody. You know, I wish I was Italian. You know, I wish I was Italian. You know those Italians, they got it.
They got it.
Well, I mean, look at this right here.
You know, I remember John Arena asking you, your good friend John Arena from Canada, John, are you sure you don't have just a little Italian in you?
John
he
Arena,
so wants to claim you.
John Arena called me yesterday, and he says, I have a joke for you. I said, okay. He says, these Italian men, these Sicilians living up in New York, decide that they ought to get together once a month to, you know, have this marriage talk and all that between the men. And so the priest is up there in the church and got all the men. And he says, I want everybody to get up, tell me how long you've been married, you know, and all that. So, so, you know, it's always Giuseppe, right? So Giuseppe gets up and he says, I've been married 50 years. He says, I've been proud to be married for 50 years. And he goes all around the church and all the men get up and say, how long have you been married? And Giuseppe had been married the longest. So the priest said, Giuseppe, that was wonderful the way you just reinforce your commitment to the marriage. He says, would you mind coming up here and telling everybody how that happened? How y'all kept this marriage fresh for 50 years. So he gets up and he says, you know, he says, the first year, he said, I married my wife. We become a best friends. And he says, whatever she wants, you want money, she gets the money. He says, you want the clothes, she gets the clothes. we have a beautiful little baby. He says, we take out a baby in a stroller around the town to introduce the baby to everybody. He says, a beautiful family like this. But he says, the best thing on my 25th anniversary, I take her back to Italy to show her off to the family and her mama. He says, she loved her that. He said, well, man, that's unbelievable. He said, that's great. He said, what a wonderful, inspiring message to all of us. He says, now, what are you going to do for our 50th anniversary? He says, I'm going to go back to Sicily and I'll bring her home.
Bring her home.
I wish I was Italian, huh?
You.
This okay. is the humor segment of the show. We ought to add that in. We ought to add a humor segment. Yeah, more relaxed. You know, kind of calm this show down. We're much too serious here.
Way too serious.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah, we ought to calm this thing down. You know, let our listeners kind of relax a little bit. What about the books today, y'all? Every week, we entice you to follow us and build your library with books that we recommend. So what do you have, Michelle?
Look at this cover.
Ice cream and ice desserts. Look at those beautiful mounds of ice cream in
now,
that bowl.
Doesn't that just make you want to grab a spoon?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Ice cream. This is the first book I was going to tell you about, Ice Cream and Ice Desserts, written by Joanna Farrow and Sarah Lewis. Comprehensive book includes everything from the history of ice cream, the tools, the ingredients, the how-to, suggested flavors, all that for making amazing frozen desserts. Gorgeous color photographs, recipes that are terrific. I liked the recipe that she has for raspberry and almond trifle, cinnamon and coffee parfait. And she even has a date and tofu ice cream. Now, I don't know how I feel about a date and tofu ice
cream.
I tell you. But it's an interesting concept.
Look, that's the granitas you were just talking about, putting the watermelon in. Now, this book, what I like about it in the front is all of the technique of adding herbs and flowers and piping of ice cream. I mean, this is really fantastic. A lot of the history.
And you know what else is great? Like Mrs. Marshall, she gives you a great recipe for making your own cones. Love that.
Look at the texture of classic coffee ice cream right here. Just really a great book.
Beautiful. I like this book. I mean, I think you could start from the beginning there and just make a different ice cream every day for us.
I might give this to Aaron as a Christmas gift.
Well, don't be too hasty, because look at this next one. The second book is called Making Artisan Gelato.
Oh, I love that one right there.
Isn't that awesome?
I bought this book in 2011 myself.
Look at you. It was written by Thomas Kofer. Another really lovely book. Great how-to color photographs for making ice cream's biggest competitor. This one had me with the frozen scoop of chocolate gelato on the front cover. Look at that in a coffee cup. I love that. Delicious recipes in here, and the author really walks you through the process, starting with what type of equipment you'll need.
To them?
Yeah. I mean, and that I really appreciate
that.
And
look at my ice cream maker right here.
Look at that.
That's mine right there.
Now that looks pretty serious, though.
Now you got one of those?
Yeah, but now I got one like this. This is my gelato. This is my homemade gelato machine right here.
Is that commercial? Do you call that a commercial piece of equipment?
It only makes a gallon and a half at a time. But, I mean, if you make a good gelato, a gallon and a half
goes quickly.
It goes quickly. And this one right here, that's a beautiful machine. I love it. This is a beautiful book, the artisanal gelato. I bought a couple of years ago. I got into the gelato business, as I told you, and I wanted to see what people were doing in technique. And this was a great, great book. Of all the books on gelato, this simple little book probably had more information on technique of gelato than anything else. The artisan, making artisan gelato.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly get that one, okay?
Yeah.
And what's next?
Well, this one is just a little frozen dessert. It's a lot of good history in here. And another great picture. Just, you know, the possibilities are really kind of endless when it comes to ice cream. But these are three of the favorite books that we kind of looked at. I love this one, and I wish you would make the champagne rhubarb marbled with vanilla ice cream for us.
Oh, man, that's got to be great. I might make
that. I love rhubarb, and I love champagne.
So how
can you go wrong? This one is called Frozen Desserts, Caroline Little and Robin Weir. So these three books, we'll have them on the website, and great additions to your library, culinary library.
And again, y'all, I encourage you every week. I can't beat you up on it, but I want you to go and look at These books are listed, the authors are listed, and you just continue to build your culinary library, which is part of our commitment to you.
You know, and I always like when we're out and about and somebody tells us about their culinary library in different places, you know, the cookbooks that they collect. You have a huge cookbook collection, but I love that, and how many people will actually say, I love to read cookbooks. You know, it's almost like a confession. They're in confession.
Michelle,
a lot of people like to just
like
read
through
cookbooks.
Michelle and I were in New York and recently doing some work, and the first thing we do is we have two bookstores we have to visit every time we're there, Kitchen Arts and Letters, which is my favorite cookbook store. Mm-hmm. And then there's another store you go to, and you better bring your pocketbook.
Bonnie Slotnick books. And when he says your pocketbook, it's because you're going to buy so many. And then you got to ship them home. Like he does, try to slip them into my suitcase too.
Rare books. I don't want to. Now I ship my books out of Kitchen Arts and Letters, but when I go to Bonnie, I have to carry them home because these are rare books, right?
She does have a lot of rare books.
Last time,
autographed.
Last time I was there, I got a book. I got Julia Child's first book signed by Julia Child and her husband, Paul, to Simone, which was her cook. That book, I'm not going to tell you what I paid for it, but to have that book and to have her giving it to her co-author, the Smithsonian will want to buy that book
one
and put in Julia's kitchen. I'm going
to
hold on to that. But anyway, that's where I get those kind of books. I got another really great book there, too. I got the Epicurean there last time we was there.
That's right.
And that's Charles Delmonico, the great French chef who came to America, opened Delmonico's restaurant in New York. But he was, I showed that book to Katie. She's sitting here as a guest, as a silent guest. Remember I showed you that book? That came from Bonnie Slotnick.
And I would like to add to this story that if it weren't for me, he wouldn't have seen either of those books in that bookstore.
And Slama,
so
I just want you to know. It is worth the $400 seat to fly there to look.
It pays for itself.
I like to think that this is my gift to him because I show him the book. And, you know, often it's a little out of my price range.
Right.
So I give him that as his Christmas gift. All he has to do is just make a donation to Bonnie Slotnick Books.
Slama.
That's a gift.
Slama, she said it's out of her price range. It's out of her level of commitment.
That's a difference. I knew that was going to come.
Because she knows I have the book and she can use it anytime. But can I borrow Julia Child's book to show my friends? Yeah, go ahead. No problem. I wear white gloves.
Huh?
Okay, Slama, now your time's up. I mean, I realize that our listeners hear your voice, they hear your name.
Yeah,
they realize you're in charge of the music. And you have one big task here, and that's to keep Facebook alive.
Yeah.
Let our people know we have a place that they can go to. And I'm going to be honest with you. You really need to pick it up. You got to step up your game.
Well, see, he's competing against himself right now because, you know, we're doing the TV series.
I've heard about this. You'll have another Facebook page.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so
there's competition in the business.
So he's out there and he's posting. And it's kind of tough to keep up with, you know, being on the in the bay right there between the Mississippi River and the Gulf, oyster fishing.
That's right.
It's hard to compete with that kind of photograph.
And send that little picture out to my friends, you know.
Yeah.
And having them respond to it. But Salama, that should be encouragement to you.
Yeah.
That should be, you know, pick yourself up.
We got to lift that no camera ban in the studio.
Like my dad, my dad used to rub the back of my head and say, Johnny, excuses, we must overcome them. We must overcome them.
No such thing, huh?
Yeah, he said, no such thing. Get rid of them. So, Salama, I'm encouraging you. So tell us about Facebook.
So, yeah, Stovehounds out there, we're talking about our Facebook page. It's Stirring It Up Radio, and that's after the Facebook.com. That's where we're taking ideas from the public. We're looking for what you guys want to hear, what kind of foodie subjects you want to have us talk about, have our staff of researchers hit the books on, and have our talent go on and on about.
That's right. That's the job of our Facebook participants.
Our participants.
That they tell us what they'd like to hear. What about our friends in England? I mean, don't you know I got a message from them the other day?
Andre
and them.
Really?
Andre and them on the Isle of Man.
Okay.
They listen to our show every week.
Oh, what no
have they
kidding.
Been cooking? We haven't heard from them in a while.
They've been cooking and playing music in the Isle of Man. They said they were on their way to Ireland, and they just wanted to. They were listening to our show that day, and they're that nice. So, I mean,
just kind of checking in.
Yep, and remember Gary Jones over in Oxford,
yes.
England? I mean, we had him on the big show, and they mentioned why didn't we have any more Oxford guests or English guests
That's
on the show.
A good question.
And they said, we have a whole fan club that we sit in the park and listen to your show on the Isle of Man, and you need to have a couple more of our English chefs on
so that
we can say, hey, look, America's paying homage to us. We need to do that.
We'll have to do that.
Yeah, with that being said, I'd like to do a shout-out to our free podcast that's available at jfuls.com. Along with all our goodies, like our free recipes and our guests and goodie information. That's at jfuls.com.
That's fantastic.
Our international fan base.
Yeah, we need to build that international fan base since we don't hear from our local Americans. maybe we should kind of get that European.
Step up the neighborhood.
I mean, you know, I love all of you. You know that. Now, Michelle, do you want Louisiana fig ice cream or do you want praline and peach ice cream?
Yes.
Which one do you want? Yeah, white chocolate berry ice cream?
Yes. Why do I have to make a decision? I'm going to give you fig ice cream.
Figs are plentiful in summer. Not uncommon to find figs atop a nice bowl of vanilla ice cream. The fruit topping, however, in this case, is going to be inside the ice cream. 1 cup of mashed fig preserves.
Oh, wait. This is what you made yesterday.
Huh?
Is this what you made yesterday?
This is what I made yesterday. How do you know that? That's what. Oh,
well, because you told me it melted.
I had to drink it. It was a smoothie when I got there. Anyway, 1 cup of mashed figs preserve, 1.5 cups of milk, 1.5 cups of heavy whipping cream. Remember, she said half and half. 1.5 cups of milk, 1.5 cups of heavy whipping cream, 1.5 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract. I only use Madagascar vanilla. That's all. I make it myself. 2 eggs and 1.5 cup of sugar in a heavy bottom saucepan. Y'all combine the milk, the cream, and the vanilla and bring it up to 190 degrees. Do not put a skim on the top of it. You know those kind of skin? That
stay away from that
slama.
So you have to have your thermometer right there.
Of course you do. You have a digital when you make ice cream. You put it in a pot and you watch it slowly come up. And when you get up to like 170, you say, watch it, 180. You say, oh, be careful, 185. You start panicking, 190, don't let the phone ring, you're dead. Okay, so anyway, y'all, do not boil it in a separate bowl. You're going to whisk together the egg, the 2 eggs, the 1/2 cup of sugar. And that's how simple it is. You're going to whisk that together, and then you're going to slowly add the hot cream into the eggs while whisking constantly to keep the eggs from curdling. And then once it's all done, you taste it. You can put a little cinnamon and nutmeg in it if you want. You have a beautiful vanilla ice cream base at this point. Put it in a plastic Ziploc bag. Put it in the refrigerator for 24 hours to put that milk and egg in the refrigerator and let it kind of just all come together or basically if it's not a green, it's a green base at this time, so you want it, all of those fats and everything to combine
before you put the figs in.
And then the next day you take it out, you whisk your fig preserves into it, and then go right into the churn. And the good thing about that, the base is mature now. It's been in the freezer, it's been in the refrigerator overnight, so now all the fats have congealed, and then you're going to add the figs to it, and the temperature is 40 degrees, so you throw it into the churn it for until it gets nice, soft serve or hard, and you have one of the best ice creams in the world. So y'all, that's about it. We're out of time right now. We've had a good show today. We really appreciate you listening to us. If you are, hello hello. Hey, we love you anyway. See you next week.
Broadcaster and musician Marianne Kennedy joins me this week to share the essence of her family's music and its connection to their Hebridean homeland. Join us this week on The Thistle and Shamrock.
Coming up Sunday evening at 6, right here on KRVS.
tune in to the Diamond Sea every Saturday night at midnight for a mixtape of classic and contemporary independent music here on listener-supported 88.7 FM KRVS, public radio for Acadiana.
Hi, this is Nick Forster. Every week in E-Town, we bring together musicians from a wide range of styles for some great live performances and conversation. And we also present the Achievement Award to someone doing outstanding work in their communities. It's an hour of uplifting stories and music each week on E-Town.
Tuesday at noon on KRVS.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at krvs.org.